promise that this is not a cheesy podcast. This is the Anything But Quiet Time podcast. And yet here we are at yet another week of Rochelle with a cheesy Christian t-shirt. And my,
you approved this. Don't act like you don't know about this. I like sent you pictures and I said, which one?
I didn't think you were serious.
This is the lesser evil.
And then two, I didn't think you were serious on both options. So I'm glad you didn't go to the other one. And then second, it's just, it's something to behold in person.
Okay.
If you're listening again, you can text the word quiet to the number 893-893. You will get the YouTube link. You can hit like and subscribe and follow. And her shirt, it looks like an iPhone menu and it says Jesus calling. And you can either accept or decline.
Don't forget to see what time of day it is.
It's 3:16 in the afternoon or the morning.
Well, no, it's not military time, so it's the morning. It's early in the morning hours. Jesus is calling you at 3:16. Where are you?
Where are you? Do you know where your children are? So this is, if you're new, by the way,
welcome.
We talk about our quiet times and what we're going through spiritually. And this has been a thing that's been over the last couple of months. And it really is the one that's closest to one of those chain emails, you know? If you're really a follower of God, you'll send to 10 people.
Yeah.
This is the shirt that is most in line with that thought
process.
Next
week's is going to be shady.
Shady?
Well, maybe not shady, but like the closest to me. Well, I don't even want to give it away, oh, but it would goodness. Be like I get that Jesus loves me, but—
Okay. All right.
This person wearing this shirt.
Well, I just,
I don't know.
I saw one of these the other day, the meme things, meme chain letter email kind of things.
Yeah.
And it was like, there's just a script of Jesus and Satan. And Satan says, I bet the person reading this is my kid. And Jesus said, no, they're mine. And Satan says, well, my kids will ignore this. And Jesus says, well, mine will hit like and share. And then in the caption, because somebody had just screenshotted it and said, who makes these? Who is sitting around making these things that are not scripturally accurate at all?
Man, I think they think it's scripturally accurate.
What is this?
But it's, well, I mean, and if you really want to dissect it, the conversation that Jesus did have with Satan, it wasn't even a conversation.
Right.
He quoted scripture.
He answered with scripture. That's right.
He didn't give him really the time of day.
Now, no.
He was tempted because he was hungry.
Yeah, right.
He was tempted because there was, yes, the devil knew that he was there for a purpose, and I'll give all of this to you, and you won't have to go to the cross if you...
I think maybe even more importantly is you don't identify as God's child. You don't prove yourself as God's child by sending a chain email or liking something on Facebook. Now, actually, I'm going to talk about imitation today. Something that the Apostle Paul talks about. And might I plea to not imitate that and not imitate anybody wearing a shirt
like this. Again, you liked the shirt. Unless you
I
were,
actually, can I come clean about
was
this?
Was it baloney? Did you just
can I,
make
no,
it up?
No. I everything that Rochelle is saying is true so that I can do what I'm doing right now.
It's all coming together.
Good. So we were at our students the other night, our youth ministry at church, and I help out with junior and senior guys. And we were talking about living our faith, and we talked about that relationship between Jesus and God, actually, God the Father. In John 17, it's a prayer from Jesus to God. And so we kind of dissected, what is that like unity was one thing that stuck out, right? The things that that Jesus had that relationship with God while he was a man, and how does that encourage us? How do we have a relationship with one another? Where are we unified? What are the things that we need to be identified in as first of all, like for example, Jesus says that he's God in so many ways in that prayer. Mm. He says, Father, restore to me the glory that we shared together before the world began. And so, you know, just some great theological truths in there. And so we were dissecting, what is like with our relationship with God? What is it like with our relationship with each other?
And can I just point out something? One of the reasons why I think that is very important to you, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's because you have this desire to help people who have been led under false pretenses, given a false doctrine, told that, and this has been going on, by the way.
In one way or another, for a long time.
In fact, my son and I were reading over this in 1 John the other day, and Second John and Third John. This is something that John was dealing with the people that he kind of the churches that he'd planted. People keep coming in and trying to change stuff,
yeah,
telling you that Jesus was a creation of God, telling you that Jesus didn't really have an actual real body. And so what you're sharing here clearly is even today being needed.
Yeah. Yeah. On that point, right? The thing I'm getting to with Paul here in just a second is really about something else. But that why I pointed that out is exactly true. There are cults, but there are also just average, everyday people that are nice people that wouldn't consider themselves to be religious, but they probably have Christian moral principles. And they just think Jesus was a good teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them the other night, I said, that thing maybe you've heard in church is true. Jesus is not a good teacher if he is literally just a man. He is either a Lord, he is who he claims to be,
mm-hmm.
or he's a liar or a lunatic. Mm-hmm. Maybe you've heard that put that way before.
Yeah.
He's either somebody that is incredibly out there and says incredibly strange things. For it'd be like the guy you just see at the corner that's claiming the end is near.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be on that level if he's not who he said he was. We believe, obviously, here he is who he said he was, and so we believe he's the Lord. And we take his word seriously. But I think you have a lot of people in just culture that are just like, Jesus is nice, and I like some of the things, and they kind of use that for like social political reasons. You know,
they probably because they picked up on stuff that people have posted.
Mm-hmm.
Where they've extracted something and it seemed nice. And so, oh, I like this guy.
Right, right.
Which, yeah, and you should.
Yeah, sure.
He was very nice.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, because we believe he is Lord and Savior, he was an excellent teacher.
But it'd kind of be like if you've ever heard somebody do that, of like they give you a nice quote and you're like, that was pretty nice.
Oh my gosh.
Who was that from? Mussolini.
Yeah.
Like
Adolf Hitler.
Right. And it's like, yeah. oh, okay, right? And so you take it the whole experience as a whole, right? Because mm-hmm. you're not going to follow either one of those guys.
Right.
But with Jesus, you follow him if you believe he's true,
mm-hmm.
certainly. And so we want to imitate Christ. If you believe he is who he said he was. And we get to this part where it's in actually 1 Thessalonians, Paul is sharing in 1 Thessalonians 1:6. So you received the message with joy from the Holy Spirit in spite of the severe suffering it brought you. In this way, you imitated both of us and the Lord. I think other translations is it seems like it's even a call to imitate us, as in him and who would that be at the time? That was either Titus or Silas and Timothy for that matter. We talked about something that is difficult. And I want to share a story about my friend here in just a second. Something that is difficult, I think why we see people struggling with faith is because what does it mean when you imitate somebody that you look up to? Because there's a lot of good that can be from that. There can be a lot of bad from that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I brought up to our students at church, I said, our pastor here is great. He's a godly man. What if you see him out in public at a restaurant drunk as a skunk? Are you putting him on a pedestal to where then you start to imitate him in everything?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, if he's doing it, well, it must be okay. There must be a pass. And I think what's dangerous too is the manipulation that's there, because I think when we're cornered, we'll say about anything. And so let's say that situation did happen where maybe a person that is kind of going back and forth of, should I follow them in that? Are they okay in doing that? Or should I take scripture seriously and tell them that what they're doing is wrong? And you might approach somebody like that. This happened many times. You approach somebody and then somebody with that authority, that level of power will say, well, actually that verse you're taking out of context, it's not addressed to pastors. Some pastors actually have the freedom to get drunk. And people have done stuff like this.
Mm.
And that's why I think we see some of these documentaries like, it wasn't the Duggars, but the Duggars in that church,
mm-hmm.
or other churches we've seen in the spotlight of abuses of power, but I think even interpersonally of just friends manipulating the situation. And I put somebody that I respected so high on that pedestal. Mm-hmm. I've imitated them and then I've fallen because I've also imitated those bad parts.
It can be really confusing because you saw good in them too.
Right. And there is good to maybe in other areas.
And you, we're talking about the situation with the Duggars, and it's interesting because my parents actually had some material from Bill Gothard.
That's the guy's name. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And I remember hearing some of that. They did not subscribe to everything Bill Gothard shared. Mm-hmm. In fact, when I had a conversation with them later saying, I watched this documentary and it was kind of disconcerting. And they're like, first of all, we didn't know any of that stuff. Secondly, we found some diamonds there. Ooh, and this is something I want to address because last week I shared a diamond in the rough. That was not my dad's quote.
You said you can find a diamond anywhere, right?
I said you can find a diamond in the rough anywhere. That's my dad's quote. That's baloney. It was not that at all. I'm so sorry.
Okay, all right. No.
But in a lump of coal, if there is a diamond, then you have to get past the coal in order to keep hold of the diamond. You discard the rest.
Sure.
And so they would find those little diamonds of truth. So perhaps diamonds in the person that you are like, wow, that's a person that I would like to be kind of like.
Yeah.
I admire whatever it is about them. And then if you're getting those vibes, I think that's very just let the Holy Spirit take you to places with those vibes of something's off because God, he wants you to be like him.
Yeah. And I think, you know, maybe a main example, a common example would be you admire somebody's work ethic, but then you realize they are not acknowledging their family. They are not supporting their family. Here's this man or woman or whatever that are working long hours into the night, and you see them at work, and it's like, man, you're so gung-ho on the mission here, but their family's suffering at home, right? And so it's like, okay, I can admire working hard, but I don't want to imitate that, that part of it,
you're
right?
You're on mission with work and you're off mission with family.
Yeah.
Then you're not on mission.
Right. And so I love that he added here, this is New Living Translation, but it says that in this way you imitated both us and the Lord. And I think that's key. And it leads me to a conversation I had with somebody, and I guess to wrap that up, when talking to our students, it was about making your faith your own, right? It's not your parents and it's not the leaders in your life that you've learned a lot from, but it's about making your faith your own. So I had coffee the other day with a friend of mine. He's a friend, but he was in student ministry when I was a leader a few years ago. And he admitted to me, we talked a little bit about this last week, about deconstruction, about people leaving their faith. And he said, man, I want to be honest with you. We haven't seen each other in a while. And he's like, I've really been going through that. I don't know what I think. And I feel like if I'm going to continue to be a Christian, I have to subscribe to a lot of things that I don't believe in anymore. And he still believes in God. But he's like, but all these things that I see churches doing and the ways that are going about it, and it really reminds me of that imitation. What are we imitating as believers? Mm-hmm. Are we imitating political leaders, megachurch pastors, or are we truly imitating God? And it really gave me a heart more so for people in deconstruction, because he got to this place where he's like, if I'm going to be a Christian, continue to be a Christian, I feel like I'm going to be a hypocrite on things, on being for things that I'm really not for. And there might be some political ideologies or even certain doctrines that aren't the essentials. You know, we talked about the essentials a couple of times. And I finally got to a place I said, and really I think I felt led to share because maybe you're in a similar place where you're like, I see a lot of Christians acting a fool. And I feel like if I'm going to continue to be a person of faith, I got to imitate that. That's what a Christian is. And I simply asked him, and I, you know what, I think I am going to share too a couple of the specific points because it goes to show the stereotype that might be out there. So let me tell you exactly what I told him. I said, do you think that there's room at the table to be a Christian? I laid out, here's the basics that, you know, you can't just say you're a Christian and not think Jesus is God or not think that you need, you know, a sin covering. Is there a God? Is Jesus God? Am I a sinner in need of a savior and that Jesus is that only way? Do you think there's room at the table to believe that and then believe in evolution? Or vote a Democrat.
Okay.
or all of these other things that it seems like.
By the way, if you're a Democrat and you're listening.
But that's what I'm saying. Here's the stereotype that's out there.
Sure. You have to be a conservative and you have to believe. Yeah.
And every little thing has to line up perfectly. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about, we've pointed this out a couple of times. There's a faithful listener of this podcast that when we talk about, we are staunchly pro-life here. Mm-hmm. And we will talk about that openly on this podcast. She disagrees.
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty big issue to disagree on, but it's not the salvation issue, right? And so I simply left it at that. I said, "Do you think that there's room at the table for you?" And it kind of left with some more questions, thought provoking. He's thinking, and I think really what it came down to for me of on my end of it, because I wanted to share that encouragement for you if you feel like you have to fit a certain mold to be loved by God. That's not true. And we could certainly have those important conversations on all those other issues. But again, when it comes to being a Christian, I just wanted to make sure that was clear. Mm. On my end of it, it gave me more of a heart for deconstruction. And he said to me, he said, "I was just so worried about that this would put a wedge between us." Mm. And I'm just like, man, no, like not at all. Like we are going to be, you're stuck with me as a friend forever because we should be able to, in a civil manner, disagree on the small thing. Every relationship's different. There are certainly boundaries. I mean, if there's an abuse going on, yes, you would want to separate. I mean, there's so many nuances in life. But as it comes to the political and social topics of our time, we can still get together for coffee and disagree. We can still be friends and love each other and disagree. We can continue to be Christians together. If you decide that you're not, I still want to have coffee with you to be able to ask those hard questions lovingly in your life.
Well, and iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
So not that he is going to sway you from your belief system.
Sure.
But I have had conversations with you where you've been vehemently very upset by deconstruction and just like the fact that you're saying, you know what, it's given me a sympathy for people dealing with that. That connection, it helped you. Yeah. I think it's going to help you. It's not changing anything per se about you, except maybe the way that now you'll approach people in the future that aren't even, quote, your friend personally.
And that's the hard part, because I think when I see somebody spewing it online in such bitterness, I worry about the people that are listening to that. And in this conversation, mm-hmm. It was so, I mean, it was already my friend, right?
Yeah.
But I think even one-on-one with anybody, it is such a, we're going to drop the act if we're just sitting here not being recorded one-on-one together.
Yeah.
And we can ask those hard questions and simply say, I don't have the answer, or I can give you an answer, but it's not the easiest. And so there is such still like, I don't know if cognitive dissonance would be the right thing or not, but it's so hard for me to see online because so much of it comes from a bitter place. And also my friend wasn't coming from a bitter place. He was coming from just a hurt place. But that bitterness does start from a hurt place. Mm-hmm. Right. And so it is tough. You worry about the people that hear it, but at the same time, the people that share it were once people that heard it or once people that had questions of their own. And I gotta recognize, you know, as we see more and more of these documentaries, like, the Bill Gothard documentary, people have been hurt by Christians. By leaders. And we have to recognize that and I don't know about come at it with kid gloves would be the right phrase, but certainly come at it with sympathy.
Yeah. And they're choosing this platform of saying they're a Christ follower, which is clearly you're saying that you're this, and it appears that you are a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Right. Right.
Whereas the people that you might be addressing and frustrated with that are just spewing bitterness, clearly that stems from a past wound.
Sure.
And I have to remember, even in those instances where I get triggered and I want to go off on that person, do you know the harm you could be doing? I also have to remember that the Holy Spirit exists.
Yeah.
And he's also, God has equipped us because we were made in his image with the capacity to know right from wrong.
Sure.
And to have a gauge with that a little bit. Now, whether they connect that eventually to God or not, that's a choice that they're going to make. But I also have to imagine that the people reading those messages, yes, there's going to be people that are naive and influenced perhaps by that. And I would love to wipe out that potentially.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want my friends, my family, these young people who are still working on who am I to be influenced. But at the same time, it can also be character building. It might be that opportunity that I don't want to rob a young person from because it may prove beneficial in the future. They're like, what is it that I really do believe? Yeah. Am I literally listening to this joker online that I've seen spew nonsense? You know, so it's, yeah, we're trying to figure out how should we respond? Social media is still pretty new.
And what
should my attitude be? And why is it different for my friend and not this guy? Because there's just one sentence, but I've actually had the opportunity to have a conversation. Maybe the conversation would be different. It was face to face with the spewer. I don't know.
It could be. And discernment is so key. And I go back and forth between online on is it effective or not. But also somebody pointed out it's kind of the synagogue of our day. The synagogue back in the day was you can go share openly or in Greek culture.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It was the Areopagus or whatever. And we got together and we thought. And
I think
talked.
I was that person actually.
You know, what's that?
The person that you said.
I think you share the Areopagus. I heard Mike Winger talk about the synagogue. It is the modern day synagogue, you know, of the online nature.
It absolutely is.
And also discernment – if sometimes I shouldn't say anything, other times it's like, yeah, I sense that they've been hurt. And sometimes there's going to be people of, they wanted to sin and their church put up a solid, holy boundary and they got mad about it. And there's so many different aspects of where somebody might be coming from. And so I think online, it's not more about saying, I doubt your lived experience, but it's about if they put forth a falsehood, like these people that say Jesus never even existed as a human being, you could gently go, how do you reconcile the fact that world-renowned atheist scholar Bart Ehrman calls that foolish? He says there's not a college professor in Renaissance, the arts, antiquity, any college professor in the world that would say Jesus didn't exist, atheist or Christian. And you just simply ask, how do you get around that? That's not evidence, but that's a pretty good likelihood that the people that know what they're talking about will at least, at the very least, say Jesus existed and died on a cross. And so I think you try to somebody talked about our clearing method here at the ministry. We used to have clearings where it was you would if you had a problem with somebody, you'd go to them and you'd say, I want to talk about this problem. And you'd put the problem at the center. So you weren't talking at each other. You always know, here's this problem. Can we talk about it together? And I think that may be a great strategy of how to deal online. Interpersonally, you can get a little bit more personal, right?
Yeah. What you said also made me think about what the atheist was sharing. I think it's so important to remember that people who will seek will find. It's because what Jesus said. And it gets down to it. If you seek me, the truth, you're going to find out the truth. It depends on the level of discovery you want to go to. So if you're comfortable sitting in economy on this ride that we call life, or if you're interested in maybe boosting up to first class or something in terms of relationship with God, how much do I want to seek the Lord? It really depends on the person. And if they're content with folly, then you can't necessarily persuade a person with no amount of information. But the people who truly are seeking what is the truth, not things that match my ideology, my comfort level, but what is the truth?
That is a good point. And we can take this maybe back to the prosperity gospel. I saw I'm going to call it out because it's open and it's public. I saw I just groaned at this Jesse Duplantis clip the other day.
I didn't see it.
He was talking about how big his house was, 40,000 square feet and all this stuff. And he said one thing I knew that you'd have trouble with because of the history of mental illness in your family. His daughter apparently said, Dad, you're never sick. How is that? And he said, I tried sick. We didn't like it. And so the impression that he has had enough faith to never be sick again. Anyway, I think about the people in the crowd, right? And so to this, it'd be the same analogy, right? Of like, oh, those poor people in the audience hearing this ridiculousness. And somebody pointed out, keep in mind that the people that are in the audience want to be there. Mm-hmm. And that's the truth that they're seeking. The prosperity, the health and wealth. Now that That doesn't mean that everybody there fits that. They may have walked in, certainly. But I think at the end of the day, I have to realize that people are people, and also that God is in control. Mm. And I just want to make a difference where I'm at, and I can't worry about the rest.
I think there's a lot of mercy when it comes to, when you think about even in the first days after Pentecost, and the apostles are now a thing, and the Holy Spirit is been given to them. As you just were talking about, John 17 is basically, this is how we're going to connect. Me and you and them and God with me and me. And it's like all connected. How? Through the Holy Spirit, the Father and the Son through the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And there's no Bible. There's no canon. I mean, there's a Pentateuch, which they wouldn't have called it that, a Torah. There's the first five books of the Old Testament. They know that very well. They know some Psalms. They certainly know of some prophets, right, depending on which team you're on, Sadducees, Pharisees, lots of different teachers and philosophies, ideologies then, right? I think God must have been so merciful because he did appoint apostles, and we see some of their letters in the New Testament where he's like, oh my word, what are they doing in that church? Like, if you read through it, it's like,
right,
some dude shacked up with his
stepmom.
Yeah. You're like, oh, what is going on? So Paul's addressing, some of it is, it's merciful. Some of it's like, get the guy out of the church.
Right.
Come on. Talk about a gauge for right and wrong. Even people who are in the lesser scale of knowledge should know that they shouldn't be doing that, right? It's like, come on.
You should know better. Yeah.
But, you know.
Was that wrong?
Should I not have done that? I think there was also, there is not these beautiful 27 books that are woven together in the New Testament available for people to read through and to be able to reference. We now have no excuse in terms of, here they are available to reference. It's very important. Because it can be super tricky. You were talking earlier about the pastor. What if you see this pastor that you want to kind of imitate? What if he gets drunk as a skunk? What if it's sneakier than that? That's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
What if it's just some gossip? What if it's like, and it's just an underhanded whatever?
Yeah.
What if it's embezzlement? You don't even know what's happening. What if, you know, all these, it might be sneakier than
it
that.
It is so hard.
People have been taking the scripture and adding to it. Mm-hmm. For a long time. I mean, again, referencing what the first, second, and third John, this guy is, they're adding to it. It doesn't even exist per se, because he's literally writing one of the books of the Bible, right, as he's talking about it. Yeah. You know, don't listen to them. I'm a first account witness. I am telling you what Jesus said. Mm-hmm. How do we get and grow our relationship? We kind of talked about that on the last podcast. You read his word. How do you know that this word is the same as maybe other books that have been called other books of faith? Read it. Mm-hmm. Does it align with his word? Is this a Bible that's been doctored where they've added scripture into it? You got to look for yourself. If you seek, you will find.
Yeah.
And it's really key. Yes, people are going to churches where well-intentioned people who think they're doing the right thing, who were raised in a certain culture where they were told, if you believe, and they're reading what Jesus is saying in one account with one person involving faith and their faith and healing and applying that now to all sickness, mm-hmm. very real accounts in very different situations. He did very different things.
Yeah.
And certainly, if you think about my favorite one and the most obvious one, I think, is the thorn in the flesh by Paul. Whatever it was, we have no idea, but it talks about Paul asking for it to be removed, and he asks three times. Now, if Paul the apostle doesn't have enough faith for a faith healing,
yeah,
that should tell you something. There's something else going on here. It's not necessarily talking about medical needs. The first and most important thing that God can heal and chose to heal was the spirit, the soul, that it would be constantly connected to him. This is not the life that he was talking about. Eternal life is what he's connecting us to. This life is this long. Eternal life, this is where it matters.
Mike Winger shared, Christian maturity is seeing today's trials as something that God is using.
Yeah, so sickness, stuff that you're dealing with finances, and these are probably, if you'll allow them to be, somehow going to be used for good in your life to make you stronger. Yes, what the enemy can intend for your decimate, for your destruction, God is going to show you if you let my spirit work in you. By the way, he's given us gifts available to you in the midst of this process. You can find patience in the midst of crazy. You can find joy in the midst of sadness. You can find love where it feels like everybody's against you. You can find, why? Because I find them in him.
Yeah.
He's the manifestation of the fruit of the spirit, which Galatians 5, 22, 23, you find the whole list. There's 9 of them there. And I know I don't eat out of that supply every single day, but it's available, which is dumb. Rochelle, traffic.
Sure.
Grab some patience.
Sure.
Take it off the tree. Eat it.
Yeah, it is. It is so, and it was something else that somebody shared. It was to the effect of, you know, our circumstances. It's not about our circumstances. God is wanting our soul to prosper.
Yeah,
You said something like that, I think, just now too. But it, just about looking at that, this life is so finite.
Yeah,
and realizing that, yes, I think it's both. I think there are times where there's something in my life and I have the opportunity to pray for it,
mm-hmm.
to pray about it, and God's going to move in that way and honors yeah. prayers. But there are times like, yeah, you mentioned Paul, you mentioned Paul and I thought about Jesus.
Yeah.
Prayed to God the Father about remove this cup from me, but it's about your will.
It's about your will.
There's the man born blind, mm-hmm. and the disciples asked Jesus, was this because of his sin or his parents' sin? And Jesus says, neither. Mm-hmm. Essentially, he goes on to say, it's for the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that maybe, I may not even be paraphrasing that much. That may be exactly what he said.
Yeah.
And so it's like, there are times where, yes, faith, yes, pray, and there are times where I hate using the word accept, but accept the reality and also the faith that God is using it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. We want everything fixed.
Yeah.
And I get that.
And it's okay to pray for healing.
Yeah. Yeah. Even on a lifelong
exactly.
ailment, right?
But if maybe it's not even accept the circumstances, but accept God's answer to your request.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. You would maybe continue to pray about it every day, every week.
Yeah.
Right. And then when you don't see results,
mm-hmm.
you're still faithful that God is still working.
I accept, Lord, that you know something I don't know.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think we've mentioned this before too, where it's how much more profound is it to hear from somebody who, in fact, this precious woman who reached out to us not so very long ago, Sandra, she is dealing with breast cancer. It clearly has come back with a vengeance. She's scared. God is using his music in her life to bring in peace, to bring in love. She passed away not so very long ago. He wanted to take his daughter home, and I get that impacted the lives of all of her family members
yeah.
and people that loved her. I know it did, but her life stood for something incredible. Mm. And I know that when she went into wherever it was to receive treatment, that she was bringing in only the things the Holy Spirit can offer into those circumstances. And people are witnessing that. You talk about somebody that you want to imitate. It's a person that's going through it and they still are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. They show self-control. And the person who, quote, never gets sick because they have enough faith, who wants to hear from that person?
Mm-hmm.
Because I get sick.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a human body that's frail, that the moment we're born starts decaying. That's truth. It is what it is. It's in the Bible.
Yeah.
We're made from dust. We will go back to dust.
Well, I love what it was her friend Jessica about Sandra.
Yeah.
Jessica shared, make sure to share about her legacy, that she was never angry with God and just the impact she made on her friends and family. And it's like, what a thing. I think there's certain things in life where I'm like, yeah, I expect to pass away, for example, right? But I think when all of a sudden it's much different than you ever looked like, mm-hmm. cancer earlier in life, or, you know, the stories about children passing away. And it's like, man, there are certain things that it would take a lot of self-control,
mm-hmm.
take a lot of faith to be able to trust God
mm-hmm.
in those moments when it just seems like, what is the point?
Yeah. Actually, I was reading this with my son, and this may be something that you could do on a Sunday. My husband and other child were out of town, so it's just me and my little. And I said, you know what? We're not going to do church today. We're going to do it different. So we sat at the table, and we knew that the pastor the previous Sunday had said, I'd like for you to read through 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. We're going to read this together, and we're going to talk about what does this even mean to you? And so here's my freshman in high school. We're reading passages of God's word together, and things are becoming fresh and new to him, and I'm actually digging in there. Why did Jesus have to die? Making sure that he... Do you understand? I've shared it with you. Mommy can go on long trail rides. Why do you think? And it was rich. It was a good time. So I would recommend that, not to get you out of church, but if you're opposed to that, some Saturday sitting down and say, let's just have some time with Jesus because I want you to be hungry.
Yeah.
For the guy who saved us.
Yeah, that's great.
This is from 1 John chapter 5. And I made it like a math problem. There's no numbers involved.
You wanted
involved.
To make this entertaining? And you chose math?
I wrote it down because he is dealing with equations and stuff like that at school. And I'm like, look, visual aids with me were so key when my dad would talk to me. I grew up with a preacher dad, and he would draw these pictures so that I had an image to go along with the sermon. It was so helpful. So I was like, maybe this will help. I wrote down the words, God will hear our prayers. And then on the other side, when we ask for what pleases him. Mm. So there's an equals there. There's also another, let's see here. I want to make sure that I'm referencing another one. It's basically the same thing. Again, when we are obeying, I'm not going to be able to find it, but what it basically said is God is going to give us everything we ask for and equals. It's when we're obeying and trusting him, when we are listening to him. It's always about when you're in alignment with the Lord's will, he's going to, yes, I've asked you to do thus and so. I'm going to make sure you have everything you need for thus and so. If you're asking for $1 zillion and it's just because,
right.
Come on.
Yeah.
If God has said no to your asking him for healing of your sickness and disease— Don't get me wrong. Nothing about sickness and disease that God loves. Nothing. He did not want sickness and disease on this perfect planet when he first created. The sin is brought in the world. Now it's broken. Mm-hmm. So that stuff exists. It's a part of life. And he has given us these lifelines through his Holy Spirit to hang on in the midst of those crisis moments. And there are days, yes, where he does heal. There are moments where you see Paul is saved out of prison. He is saved out of these atrocious type of situations where, you know, everybody else could be drowning. But, you know, Paul says, if you hang on, we're not going to drown. Stay with us. The shipwrecked boat, nobody dies. Yes, he's saved, but ultimately he does end up martyred for the cause of Christ. So was his faith lacking, or was it that was his ticket? That was his time.
Yeah.
And so I really loved kind of reading that through and making sure that that's solid in his thinking, because there are going to be people that come alongside and say, well, God says in this scripture. But there's one here that says, if I ask when God's about it, he will supply that.
Yeah.
Have I made sure that God's about it?
That's the quote I heard somebody say the other day. God's will, done God's way, will not lack God's supply. Mm-hmm. But that's so key to remember that it's not always my way that I'm going to get supplied. And it's going to look different.
And you may have good intentions.
Sure. Sure.
It may be selfless.
I may tell myself if I win the lottery, yeah, I'll help so many people. But ultimately, God knows what's best. And potentially, especially we see in the lottery, he may be protecting you from just a life of misery once you get it and spend it and get broke or get robbed or, you know, whatever it might be. And I got to remember that just his ways are higher than my ways. Mm-hmm. You may have Psalms to share. I think
I do.
I think we're with time. Let's talk about your fan.
Oh, my
fan. And let's tell us what you're going to talk about next week as well.
Okay. So not do Psalms?
Yeah. Tell us what you're going to do with Psalms.
Okay.
And then we'll get to why you have this chair here with
Nobody cares about the chair until you point it out. Now they're like, there's a chair there?
Because it is so special because of what it contains. But what can we expect next week on the Anything But Quiet Time podcast?
So there is this thinking about a certain man named Gideon.
Oh, Gideon, yes.
Who never wrote a psalm, by the way. I'm just connecting this. Gideon is a guy in the Old Testament. He was used by God in a mighty way. He was used by God in a mighty way. God did all the victory, winning.
Right.
Okay. But there is something that he does, and I've even heard this in church circles, where put out your fleece. Mm. Put out your fleece. Mm-hmm. And I've always kind of adhered to that because I kept hearing it passed down. That's kind of a
you were imitating
thing.
That.
Well, that's what I was it's in the Bible.
Right, right.
But then somebody challenged my way of thinking in regards to that. It's like, this guy had to ask God how many times if it was really him?
So you're going to explore this topic.
Well, have you ever asked God for a sign? And I read something in the Psalms, and I think you'll be pleased. You may have already received it, and you just don't even know it yet.
Okay, do tell. We'll get to that next week on the Anything But Quiet Time podcast. I do want to say I've asked Jeff Foxworthy for a sign.
Have you?
The results did not go well.
It didn't go well.
No. Signs that I might be a redneck. Yes.
Or his friend is like, here's your sign. Yeah, he'll give you a sign.
Yeah, that's right. So who? Okay, so you have a portable.
Did you just ask me who this is?
A portable fan here.
Yes. He's my friend.
Who do you have?
He's very faithful.
Yeah.
So, as long as he's plugged in.
First of all, it's really cool.
Thank you.
I mean, it is a fan, but I mean, it's cool looking. It's
because
like
it looks almost like oldie.
Yeah. It's oldies or even Jetsons style.
I didn't even notice until I did that those don't do anything.
What this feels like, since it's a Christian podcast,
yes,
is you're getting ready to do like the children's church. Like, what do I have here? The object lesson?
No.
But no, what
There's
is
no
this?
Object
Why
lesson.
Do you have this here?
So it was shared a few podcasts ago. And if you missed out, wow, what a podcast. This is for hormonal imbalance, also known as perimenopause. This is hot flash helper. That's what this is.
Double H, baby.
This, like even right now, I am hot. Mm-hmm. I am hot. It's weird. Because for no reason. And it just, I've heard about people doing that. It's like, oh, I've gotten hot flashes. I remember Mrs. Doubtfire, Robin Williams.
Yeah.
My first day as a woman.
Yes.
And I'm having hot flashes. You may remember that.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
And that's just because he didn't know how to make lobster. I'm talking about just, I don't like not having this on right now.
I was going to say.
You forced me.
This is the airing of grievances that we were getting
Carter's
to.
Like, no, we can't play that. We can't we can't turn that on because it'll make sound.
It'll be a buzzing.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine having that in your AirPods as our friend is driving around?
Nobody's going to notice.
What is that?
But now that I've addressed it, maybe my friend listening with the AirPods, you know, Rochelle needed that. And I don't mind that hum because I know that she's sweaty less. Her back doesn't feel like a swamp. That's what they're thinking.
I think by what you've just said in the last two sentences, you've scared away our friend.
Well, now you know why I need a new t-shirt every time we do a podcast.
Hey, thank you for spending time with us. This is weekly, and it's also on YouTube. Maybe I'm looking at you right now because you are watching on YouTube, the Anything But Quiet Time podcast channel. You can like and subscribe and follow and share, but whether you want to
And
continue.
In the comments section, make sure that you say, let Rochelle have her fan.
No, but in the comments section, please talk about important things topics we should discuss, feedback on what you've listened to or watched. And anytime you want to get the YouTube links into your phone or the Apple or Spotify, just text the word quiet to the number 893-893.
I hear that Dyson makes a fan that doesn't make a noise. I don't want to spend
invest in that one
my entire year's paycheck for that.